Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
TGIF. It's Friday, October 16th, and this is the LA Report. I'm Leo Duran. On today's show, we speak to a man who lost everything in a wildfire this summer and the difficult road that lies ahead. Why Glendale passed a resolution apologizing to African Americans, then a new project where we invite Angelenos to ask questions about race and how an exodus from California could affect politics in other states. Over the past few months, more than 9,000 buildings have been damaged or destroyed during California's record-setting wildfire season. But while our focus shifts from blaze to blaze, it's easy to forget that there are just as many lives that have been upended as buildings that have been lost. And months later, many still don't know how they're going to recover. Our Jacob Margolis spoke to one man about his recovery after losing everything.
Yeah, his name's Michael LaCroix, and he lived in the hills above Palmdale in a trailer on this nice big property in this remote place with lots of trees and beautiful chaparral. And then one day in August, out of nowhere, the lake fire comes along. And all of a sudden, he's got an hour to grab everything he can and run. The last thing he sees as he's driving away is the fire coming over the hill, firefighters making a last stand. And I mean, 747s just dropping tons of red fire retardant all over everything. You should definitely check out the piece, because he goes into a lot of detail about the experience, but also about what it's been like to recover since then. And I think a lot of people would be really surprised to know that there's actually not a lot of help for folks after their homes burn down. So if you want to know what it might be like for you, if you live in a very vulnerable area, you should definitely check out the piece because maybe it'll help you prepare too.
This week, Glendale became one of the first cities in the country to apologize for its history of excluding African Americans. It's only one of three in the U.S. to do it so far, and the city council vowed to address racial bias, starting with an official resolution. With more, here's Itzi Quintanilla.
The city of Glendale passed a resolution apologizing for its history as a sundown town, which actually makes it the first city in California and only the third nationwide to apologize for that history. I spoke with Glendale Public Information Officer Eliza Papazian, who told me that the city staff reviewed historical documents to identify and understand the city's racist past. She says that while there's no official record of sundown laws, there is, quote, ample documentary evidence that Glendale was in fact a sundown town. That evidence includes informal ways of excluding Black people and other people of color from Glendale, including intimidation and violence, as well as, quote, racially restrictive covenants in housing. The city also has a history of being home to white supremacist organizations. The city acknowledges, apologizes, and condemns all racially motivated, discriminatory or exclusionary aspects of the city's history. As for next steps, Glendale is in the process of putting together what's called a historical context statement that will focus on race and ethnicity in the city.
Our newsroom is launching a new project inviting Angelenos to ask their questions about race. To tell us more about it, here's our data editor, Dana Amahir.
So on Monday, we introduced Racism 101 on LAist. The project is part of the Race in LA ecosystem. It was conceived as a community engagement follow-up to a virtual event series, Conversations About Race and Racial Issues, that we had back in July. After the show, we had a lot of audience members wanting to know how we were able to facilitate such thought-provoking conversations. We knew that it took weeks of preparation to make our production look polished, but organic. We knew that they didn't have the same types of resources, so we decided to help. Racism 101 is a starter kit to guide your own conversations about race. So as part of it, we included a ton of contextual resources to help inform your discussions. And it also includes a call out for questions, any types of questions that folks might have for others from other backgrounds and life experiences that are unlike theirs. We assembled a diverse answer panel of newsroom staff and community members who were going to answer questions and share their own lived experiences. We'll post these answers online and on social media and give the community an opportunity to tell us how they would answer too. The Racism 101 webpage will be published on Monday, October 19th. You can find it at las.com/racism101.
And finally, we're joined by Matt Levin of Cal Matters. He reported on the political impact of Californians moving to contested states like Texas and how our expats could play a role in elections.
So since 2008, about 700,000 Californians have moved to Texas. At first, that was because of the Great Recession, which hit us really hard and Texas less so. But more recently, it's because of the exorbitant price of living and particularly buying a home in California. Now, not every Californian that's moving to Texas is a shoe-in for Biden, but political experts and pollsters in Texas will tell you, well, this is probably part of the reason why Biden is pulling so close to Trump overall. Biden, in some polls, is actually leading in Texas, which I think comes as a surprise to many Californians. When you look at the places where Californians are moving to Texas, these are typically the suburbs of Houston and Dallas and Fort Worth, some of the bigger cities. These are places that have been conservative for a very long time and for the first time in decades are trending more blue. And the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is pouring money into these counties for the first time in decades. The Texas GOP is not a big fan of this trend. Don't California my Texas was actually a campaign slogan for the Republican governor's reelection there. But the trend does not show much signs of stopping. The median home price in California reached an all-time high last month, despite the pandemic, at over $700,000.
Thanks for listening to today's LA Report. Our reporting is made possible by listeners like you. Please donate today at las.com/donate to keep local news strong during this uncertain time. That's laist.com/donate. We'll have another report for you on Monday. Until then, be safe. I'm Leo Duran. The LA Report is produced Monday through Friday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And for up-to-date news around the clock, tell your Alexa device to launch LAist or check in at laist.com/latest. That's laist.com/latest.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.